Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare,
Hare, Hare, Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Radhe Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Bol. So we will continue to read these summaries of these excerpts of Leelas from Ananda Brindavan Champu. The book itself is divided into two sections. The first section is Krishna's Kumar Leela from age 1 to 5, and the second section is his Purganda Leela from 5 to 10, and then his Kaishor Leela from 10 to 15. Of course, as we know, even when Krishna is simply a 5-year-old boy, within him he has his Navayovana form of beauty. So he can be attractive to the young girls of Vrindavan in a way that a human 5-year-old child could not. So we begin with hearing the pastime of Kaliya. Now in our lectures today, we heard about the wonders of going and sitting by the Jamuna River. So tonight, the cowherd boys and all the residents of Vrindavan are going to end up by the river Jamuna. One day, Vanamali Krishna left his brother Ram at home and went with his friends to play beside the river Jamuna. At that time, the serpent Kaliya lived in a lake within the water. Kaliya had taken shelter of the Jamuna to hide from his enemy Garuda. He was the embodiment of the rasa of fear or bhaya. And he existed in Vrindavan like an incurable heart disease. His vehemence had heated the river and boiled the water. Jamuna felt as if she had a black ball of fire within her. Poison polluted the air, and birds who flew above fell down into the water. And dense black smoke arose from the Jamuna, indicating that within her waters there was a raging fire. Nothing could live there except Kaliya and his wives and his family. So by Krishna's supreme will, the cowherd boys came to that place and they took the water and they sipped it with their hands. And immediately the water touched their lips, they fell to the ground dead. And Krishna was very shocked, but immediately he revived them with a glance. Feeling astonished and smiling very gently, the boys stood up and warmly embraced one another, and they looked lovingly at their friend Krishna, their dearest friend. Then Krishna immediately climbed to the top of a kadamba tree and prepared himself for a fight. First he gathered his locks of hair, then he retied his turban, then he tightened his belt, and he clenched his fists, ready to fight. Then totally relaxed, he glanced at his friends and he said to them with his eyes, "Do not be afraid, my friends. I will dispel all misfortune. Wait here and watch the cows." Then Krishna jumped. And when he jumped enthusiastically into the water and landed in the water itself, he went deep into the water and the water flew up in great waves as if a mighty, mighty weight had entered into its waters. And this overflooded the banks with its poisonous waves, and seeing the water rushing towards them, all the boys ran back in fear. Then Krishna, who had dove deep into the water, began to agitate the water with his arms. And this caused the poisonous water to burst into flames. Kaliya felt that his life was being threatened. And he came quickly and he saw Krishna's beauty. But still, he felt that Krishna was to be the source of an intolerable fever. So lunging at Krishna, he bit him on the chest with his lips, and then he enveloped him in all of his coils to crush him to death, and he expanded his own body to enormous proportions. He was thinking, Who is this person who has violated my watery domain and creating such a disturbance? Now, on one level, the supremely independent Lord had created an inauspicious atmosphere of impending death just to see how much love the Vrajavasis had for him and to make them impatient to run to him. On another level, Krishna performed this pastime of being bound by Kaliya to satisfy his own desire to dance on Kaliya's hoods. Meanwhile, seeing Krishna entrapped in Kaliya like this, all the boys became paralyzed with fear. Jackals shrieked. Smoke and dust began rising and blanketing the sky and covering the sun. High winds began to howl, and the earth shook, and earthquakes began to tremble. Anxiety and inauspiciousness seized the atmosphere. Seeing all this, Nanda Baba became worried and submerged in the mud of fearfulness. Although they had innumerable experiences of the majesty of Krishna, due to his covering potency of yoga maya, they knew only the sweet intimacy, and thus they simply worried about the safety of Krishna. They left everything, the whole village, from the one-year-old babies to the old men. They all ran in a procession following the path marked by Krishna's footprints. They rushed out with the intention of finding and saving Krishna. From a distance, they saw him, motionless, enwrapped, trapped in the lake. Then they saw the facial expressions of Krishna's friends, who were now lying unconscious on the bank, and they were completely devastated. The ladies just fell down immediately on the ground in a faint. And the men toppled over like uprooted trees. Filled with panic, Nanda Baba cried out, "Oh, my darling son, why have you suddenly done this? Oh, dearest of all, please come back to us. Come back to us." At first, the young gopis could neither cry nor lament, as they just stared at Krishna. And then their piteous wailing and the downpour of their tears strained the atmosphere and muddied the banks of the river Jamuna. Intense lamentation permeated the whole atmosphere. Baladev looked around in amazement. Then he said, "Oh Father, because Krishna is so dear to your heart, Your heart is now burning with lamentation. O mother, do not cry. Listen, you should not be grief-stricken. I am the only one who knows the extent of my younger brother's valor. For lion-hearted Krishna, it is a paltry achievement to subdue Kaliya. He is not the least bit afraid of this tiny water snake. Therefore, give up your grief and have complete confidence in my words. Then, to remove the acute distress of his relatives, Krishna decided to free himself the moment that Balaram finished speaking. Releasing himself, Krishna lifted up his lotus face and cast a blissful smile towards all the Brajavasis. Kaliya raised his hoods to capture Krishna again, who had then mounted upon his broad serpentine heads. Pointing towards Krishna, Balaram said, "Look, just to please you, Krishna is determined to extinguish the dazzling gems on the hood of the serpent. Do not worry any more about this insignificant calamity." Then Krishna smiled and relished the mellow of laughter while Baladev spoke. Now all the Vrajavasis gave up their lamentation and they watched Krishna, and he did a dramatic dance accompanied only by his mind. Krishna displayed amazing skill as the best of dancers and the savor of his and the savior of his devotees. Krishna danced on the serpent's many heads, expertly moving rhythmically to drum beats. He deftly stomped from one hood to another hood to another hood. The ruthless steps of Vanamali Krishna's Tandava dance devastated the serpent Kaliya. Seeing this, Kaliya's wives abandoned all fear and shyness. And putting their children on their laps, they approached Krishna on behalf of their husband. They offered Krishna very serious prayers. First, they glorified Krishna in many chosen words. And then they spoke about their husband. They said, "Being born in the mode of ignorance, it is natural for a snake like Kaliya to be crooked." Snakes. "It is impossible to see gentle behavior or good manners in him. He does nothing good for anyone. This is the nature of one who lives in a hole. His actions cannot be, however, considered offensive, because that is his very nature. Therefore, please quickly show your mercy to him, to our afflicted husband. It does not befit you to kill such a lowly creature. Please forgive his offenses and return our husband so that we will not become widows." Krishna responded to the prayers of the Nagapatnis by dissipating his anger and reducing his punishment. He said to them, "Although I was very angry Your sweet appeal has satisfied me. I will save his life. Now take your husband and return to your original abode. The mark, he said, of my footprints on his head is all auspicious, and Garuda will never again give him any difficulty. Kaliya felt very greatly relieved and happy. His false pride had been broken. He began to also pray to Krishna. He said, as long as the sun and the moon remain, your beautiful pastimes will give joy to the minds of your devotees. You always bring immediate auspiciousness to the unfortunate. Please forgive my offensive behavior. Kaliya then took out one very valuable pearl necklace and a ruby, and he gave these as gifts to Krishna. Then he and all of his family all offered obeisances to the Lord, and they turned and they left the Jamuna. Immediately, the water transformed into the sweetest nectar. And after Kaliya left, the Prince of Braj, who forever enacts fresh and effulgent playful pastimes, climbed up on the bank of the Jamuna. The golden bangles on his lotus hands glistened attractively, and his shimmering dhoti defeated the brightness of lightning. Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Hare Hare. Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Radhe Jaya Radhe 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 Giriraj Giriraj Govardhan Bolo Giri Govardhan Giri Govardhan Giri Govardhan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So as Krishna grows from a small baby to a young boy and then to a blossoming handsome youth. Similarly, Radha also grows, and she appears to become mature into the stage which is known as Purvarag. And Purvarag means, Purva means before. This is the stage before Radha has actually met with Krishna. So this particular pastime takes place during that particular stage of Krishna's Nara Leela, or his appearance and his activities within the material world. So as for Nanda and Yasoda, they don't notice that Krishna is maturing. For by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, tender beauty and impudent behavior mingle within Krishna's youthfulness, so that Nanda and Yasoda, who were tied to him by the creeper of parental affection, thought that Krishna would remain perpetually a small child. Thus Yogamaya arranged for the gopis to relish Krishna's handsome youthfulness, while his parents did not feel any suspicion when Krishna met with the gopis in secret. Just see the amazing power of Krishna's Yogamaya potency. Now, for those of us who have come from Varshana or visited Varshana in the past, we should pray to Giriraj Govardhan that he may take us now as if on a magic carpet, and that carpet should take us up to the top of the hill of Vilasgar, to a place where Radha is sitting with her girlfriends. The minds of the young gopis of Vrindavan were absorbed in their increasing desire to enjoy with Krishna. But many, many impediments prevented their meeting, but they also made them always think about him. They tried their best to hide their feelings, and sometimes they would discuss amongst themselves in an attempt to relieve the anxiety caused by their love. One gopi, somewhere else, not in Varshana, Chandravali, spoke to her friend Padma. She said, "Oh, my dear friend, my heart is totally attached to Krishna. I cannot give up my attraction to him." And Padma replied, she said, "Oh, lotus-eyed one, you should know that the love felt by the daughter of Brishabhanu surpasses all of us. But as yet, she has not met with Krishna alone. So before she does, you should fulfill your heart's desire, and I will make all the arrangements." Meanwhile, Radha sat in a secluded place in Vilasgar, with her friends Lalita and Vishakha. the weight of her love overpowered her when suddenly Shyamasakhi and Bakulmalasakhi, two friends of Radha's, arrived, and in their hands they were carrying a beautiful garland made of Bakul flowers. Shyama said, "Oh, Brishabanu Nandini, who can be more fortunate than you? You attract even the heart of Krishna, who is madly in love with you." Radha said, "Oh, bold one, why are you exaggerating like this? You should know that Shyamasunda is the only love for all the beautiful girls of Vrindavan. He does not belong to any one, Sakhi." Shyama said, "Do not doubt my words, Radhe, and thereby inflict pain upon yourself. Be satisfied with your own unique good fortune and become convinced that Shyamasunda belongs only to you." Then Lalita asked, she said, "Shyama, do you really mean what you say?" Shyama said, "Lalite, if you don't believe me, ask my friend Bakulmala." Lalita said, "Bakulmala, tell the truth. Do not say something just to please us." Then Bakulmala spoke. She said, "Hey Radhe, I will dispel all doubts. This morning, I was walking by Govardhan Hill, and that handsome boy passed me on the way to tend to the cows, the source of all happiness. And then he went for a walk with Batu, his friend, in a Bakul forest, where they walked beneath the fragrantly flowering trees. Then Krishna and Batu sat down and started to string a garland of delicate Bakul flowers, which emitted an extremely fragrant, sweet fragrance. Feeling a little shy, I hid behind some creepers so no one could see me. Batu was holding Radha's pet parrot on his arm, and the parrot was describing about Radha to Krishna. The parrot told him how, when he goes to tend cows, she stands up in the watchtower and gazes upon him. And then he said that during his birthday festival, Radha spent the whole time looking at Krishna. Radha also stared at him with a totally fixed attention when he subdued Kaliya. Hey Radhe, listen to the other sweet words that Batu spoke. He said, "My dear friend Kanaya, Krishna, this garland you have made is very special, and you should use it to win the heart of Radhika." Krishna smiled and said, "How will this ever happen?" Just then, Padma arrived. She stood right next to Krishna, really boldly. And Batu said, "Are Sakhi, what are you doing here? Abandoning all shyness, you fearlessly stand in front of my friend Shyamasunda?" Padma replied, "I am the friend of Chandravali, who sent me here to pick the Bakul flowers for my friend's puja. Chandravali has been bitten by the snake named Krishna. So I am searching for the means to distract her. Batu replied, "It is very difficult to find such means. Due to its cowardly nature, a mind fearful of a snake will never give up its fear." Padma said, "That may be true, but becoming enchanted by a beautiful object can steal away the mind." And then she saw the garland that Krishna had made and was holding. And she very shyly requested that beautiful garland for her friend Chandravali. Batu suggested that instead she should accept some flowers from Krishna, and Krishna handed her some Bakul flowers. And Padma became overjoyed, and she went away carrying these special flowers to give to Padma, to give to Chandravali. Then Batu said to Krishna, "If a friend of Radha comes here, she will remove the pain from your heart." Hearing this, I moved a little closer on the pretext of picking up the fallen flowers. And then Batu saw me, and he asked my name. And then the parrot on his arm said, "This is Bakulmala. She is an associate of Shyamasakhi and a friend of Radha. Give her the garland." Batu said to Krishna, "Just see, my words have come true." And the parrot replied, "A Brahmana's words are infallible. Now give this garland to Bakul Sakhi." Then Krishna spoke and he said, "The young girls of Vrindavan are naturally very proud. So why will one of them come here just on the order of Batu? Therefore, O best of birds, you please comfort your mistress. Hearing your request, this Bakul Sakhi may come and accept this Bakul garland." Immediately, Radha's parrot flew to me and requested me to come closer and accept the garland that Shyamasunda had made. I replied, "O best of parrots, do you think that any chaste girl would accept a garland from someone who is not her husband?" And then Batu talked to his dear friend the parrot, and finally he said, "The gopi called Bakul Mala should take this Bakul Mala, Bakul garland, to the mistress of the parrot, Radha, the eternal lover of Krishna." So Damodar gave me this garland, and I returned to my mistress, Shyamasakhi, and I told her everything and gave her the garland. And now she is bringing this garland to you. Shyama then placed that beautiful garland around Radha's neck, and Radha's eyes filled up with tears as she lowered her head out of shyness. Radha then embraced Bakul Mala and fell to the ground unconscious. Lalita said, Shama, your friend and this garland are the same, not only in name. Both these Bakul Malas are fragrant and freshly youthful, and both have enjoyed the touch of Krishna's hand, and therefore they have become eligible to decorate the neck of Srimati Radhika. Shamasaki replied, you have spoken very sweetly.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Now this last pastime that I would like to share with you is actually also the last pastime in the book. And I think it's a very nice pastime to hear because it is the pastime of Julan Yatra. And every year, all of us, somewhere in the world, we celebrate Julan Yatra. So it is, as Maharaj is teaching us, to go deeper, to meditate, to have a reflective capacity. So this is a wonderful meditation for Julan Yatra. And because Kavi Kanpur is so poetic, as you listen, you'll be able to see he creates such a picture with so many details. So please try to listen, and I will try to share with you this description of Krishna's Vrindavan Julan Yatra. During the springtime, Krishna performed his swing festival, Julan Yatra, a festival which is the perfect object of meditation for those desiring a taste of devotion. For the sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna far surpass the sporting of the demigods and their wives in their celestial gardens. And this ecstatic spring festival, spring swing festival, is therefore incomprehensible to the three worlds. This festival was held in a very special place in Vrindavan, which was bordered on all sides by a line of desire trees of equal height with round trunks and branches whose ends intertwined all around, leaving a bare space in the middle. These trees looked like a wall of sapphires. Besides the birds who inhabited those trees, the presiding forest devis had placed long strands of pearls and silken cloth and chamaras, along with jewels and fruits and flowers, to decorate those lines of trees. In the center of this compound was a stage, a golden stage. It was a square-shaped stage, and in the middle of the stage was a jeweled kunj with four doors, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now this kunj, there were four Harichandan trees, very tall trees, growing up as the four pillars on each corner. And the intertwining of the tree's branches and upper branches and leaves formed a canopy overhead. And the swing hung by thin golden ropes tied to these branches. This arena and kunj was central. And there were four other arenas, stages with kunjas on all the four sides, 1, 2, 3, 4. Facing the doors of this central kunj were four more. And these were for the other gopi group leaders. They had their own personal kunjas with their own personal swings. Surrounding these arenas, the rest of the area, were many pleasant devataru trees, which were green with foliage and resonating with the singing of young cooing birds. One swing hung between each two of these trees, all the way round. There were swings between each two trees. And there were sitting platforms around the base of these trees so the gopis could sit there. Then four lines of swings faced the four doors of the main jeweled kunj, while herds of deers frolicked peacefully in the flat land that surrounded this area. just by seeing this extraordinary arrangement, the hearts of everyone became flooded with joy. The top branches of all of these trees joined to form a pleasing green canopy. But gazing upward, if one gazed upward forever, one could not find the top of those tall trees. Moonlight gently filtered through these canopies of branches and leaves, making small filaments of light patterns on the forest floor. This scattered silvery moonlight appeared as if all the stars in the sky had left their positions to come down in great joy to offer their respects to the land of Vrindavan. The forest goddesses had also formed beautiful canopies of softly rustling silk and nets, lace made out of pearls, hung from the cloth and swung gently in the breeze, pleasantly resounding like tinkling, tinkling ankle bells. And the aroma, celestial scents like a guru, and drops of perfume coming from the kalpadruma trees, and piles of camphor dust made fragrant white smoke rising up towards the sky. The demigods who had come with their musical instruments and their wives, who also had come to sing, were very impatient to begin. The siddhas, the vidyadharas, the kinaras, all playing their instruments, yes, all playing their instruments, arrived in Vrindavan in innumerable celestial aeroplanes. Flocks of joyful birds began to perch peacefully on the twigs and branches of the trees, all singing the glories of Krishna, while their own hearts swung backwards and forwards in delight. The deers also gathered, standing motionless, just like a painting. It was as if they had not been attracted to the forest by the sound of Krishna's flute, or that they had not abandoned their household duties, nor opposed their elders. Appearing suddenly, as if from nowhere, the beautiful doe-eyed gopis, like touchstones for pleasure pastimes, seemed to just manifest as if coming directly from the desire trees. They were decorated with kumkum and dressed colorfully with beautiful fluffy petticoats and fine silk dresses down to their ankles, and glittering bodices and festive colored sashes and tinkling waist bells. They came ready for dancing. However, they also carried flower pollen and kumkum in little sachets hidden within their golden waist belts, as well as flasks of aguru, musk, and sandalwood. And these very thin, delicate flasks were so fine that they could break open even with a breath. some girls also carried syringes with flower water, kumkum water, and musk water. When everything was ready, then everybody was awaiting the arrival of Radhika and Shyam to start the festival. Their excited chatter and their loud laughing resembled the sweet cooing of the cuckoos. Cuckoos. Suddenly, Krishna entered. With his left arm on Radhika's shoulder, holding his flute, and in his right hand, twirling a lotus flower. His bangles chimed happily, and on his head, he wore a reddish turban tilted attractively to one side and decorated with a peacock feather. His elegant earrings and the lotus on his ears swung in the breeze that was created by the bees that kept circling around his face. Fine cloth kissed his limbs, and lit by the jewels of his ornaments, his pearl necklace was glowing from the rays of his Kostuba jewel. Light, delicate footsteps accentuated his graceful yet playful gait. As Krishna and his gopis slowly ascended the platform beneath the swing within the kunj, the peacocks went mad. Flowers began to shower from the sky, glittering like stars, they fell upon the scene. Krishna mounted the attractive seat of the swing. The cloth was covered. It was white. The cushion was covered with white cloth, as soft as the foam churned from the milk ocean. Mukunda and Radha marveled at the intricate workmanship of the jeweled lamps that illuminated this swing. Then Radhika's friends all came and sat beside her. And when the other gopis beheld the intimate feature of Krishna upon the swing, they mounted their respective swings and loudly began to sing very sweet songs. Chandravali sat facing Krishna. Bhadra and her friends were on the left. Shama and her friends were on the right. And behind Krishna was Danya and her assistants. And then the outer area, the whole area, began to fill with joyful gopis, vibrating veenas, and sitting on their swings, holding on to the swing with one hand and taking fistfuls of colored powder and which was tucked in their belts and throwing it up into the air. And the colored powder spread a red hue in the sky. While the gopis sang and played music, the young manjaris gracefully pushed all of these swings. And Vrinda Devi, seeing this, was completely delighted. Blissfully absorbed in their swinging, Radha and Krishna hurled colors and colorful powder on the other gopis. And Chandravali and all the other gopis returned the volley with their powder. While moving in their swings and sprinkling fragrant powder on Radha and Krishna, the beautiful gopis were emblems of gracefulness. Krishna in turn showered them with ruby red kumkum powder. In this way, Krishna conquered the playful gopis while seated beside Radha, who possesses the limit of excellent qualities. Then, smiling, Krishna desired to please all the gopis seated on their swings in the four directions. So he began to swing his swing in different directions, this way, then that way, then this way, then that way. He swung north and south and east and west. So as he faced each group of gopis, he would face them as he swung. And amazingly, as his swing moved back and forth, every gopi felt themselves sitting next to him. In the joy of such swinging, his necklace and forest garland and shining earrings all joined in the festival. Now Kavi Kanpur says, with this description of the swing festival, I, Kavi Kanpur, conclude this book, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, which parallels the Vrindavan pastimes, or his Nara Leela, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the last statement of Kavi Kanpur is this. He says, Kavi Kanpur, the son of Shivananda Sen, whose life is Sri Chaitanya, has written this Champu with a wealth of poetic knowledge, which has arisen by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and by the pure intelligence attained from remembrance of the lotus feet of Srinath, his spiritual master.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh! Oh, Nitai, Nitai, Jay! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Yeah!